January 27th, 2007. CPT Dallas. Just got to Enchanted Grounds a while ago. Settled down, fixed a deck, did a little play testing. Looks like a pretty diverse field. Most of the different archetypes are represented here, but generally only between one and three copies of, at most. We have about 30, roughly 35 right now. Another 15 minutes for people to show up. I'll give the exact number later. Looks like every type of deck in the hemisphere of extended. Gonna go around and get people's opinion and stuff. I was trying to test the Cloudpost deck this morning. I'll provide a list of the Cloudpost deck, and unfortunately, it had disheartening results when I got here, so I opted to go back to the Blasted Trinkets deck today, because I think I'll do better off that way. I'm going to involve a few people like Ray and David, maybe Ryan, in discussion later, let y'all get to know them a little bit. Ray is the person I did my podcast with last year at Nationals. He's a pretty cool guy. Get him in there. He likes to talk, except about himself. provide the deck list for what I have as well. Channeling Ground is kind of interesting. It's like half magic shop. It's pretty decent space. Looks like it holds about 70 people in here, roughly, on the magic side for tournaments, and half of a coffee shop like you'd get at a Starbucks, with all kinds of, you know, flavors and coffees and, you know, seating for food and everything else. So it's like, and then it's like half a comic and board game store. So it's like, well, three parts, yeah. So it's kind of interesting. It's a nice little layout. It looks pretty well done, pretty well finished. Fairly nice design. First time I've been here, though. Brand new store, just opened a few months ago. We'd hold the tournament here. Never been here before myself. So some of the decks that I see here now are Necrobolas Reanimation, some Psychotog deck. Gaius might get there. A couple Trinket decks. Heartbeat, the Spring deck. Light Control deck. Like a Martyr of Sandstein deck. I'll try to get a full list of everyone that's playing later. When I get time, get the list of all the players, too, after round one. Looks like two separate chants. Well, we were going to get paired up. Me and Steve Belinda, another top 8, long time top 8 Magic listener, but luck be have it, they're doing a repair now, so I guess I'm going to be playing against Lou, another strange player, or sort of. Now he moved to Denver, he's kind of like a traitor.
I think I'm just back and forth styles. I represent the Springs most times.
Mostly you represent the Type 1 grab. Where are we sitting at, anyways?
Right here, fine.
But knowing Lou, he is a consummate combo player and only plays combo decks, be it Tron based, or be it a Mind Slayer deck, which I know he's working on, or other kinds of combo decks. That'd be interesting. Well, round one was a disheartening loss, to say the least. Fight against Lou's blue-green Slavertron deck. Game one, I had a Needle in play for Mindslaver, and he was able to draw into a repeal off of a pair of Thirst for Knowledges. Get it off the board when he was at 3 life. He had enough mana with a Spellburst with Ryback to negate me being able to kill him or get the either a Tormite Script and set the Needle back into play or the lethal Lightning Helix. He stopped all three with a single Spellburst. I guess in retrospect, I played that wrong because I should have dropped the Needle, let him go for it, and then with the Spellburst on the stack and made him have to have a second Spellburst, I could have played that better, I guess. There was a mistake I thought I made earlier in that game as well. For some reason, I didn't have to go back to my notes here. But it was. Oh, it's because I had four lands in play. Two of which were blue, two of which were red, sourced. Combination of white among them. Had enough to had an Morph Angel in play, had a knight in play, and I was sending the Morph and the knight, but the problem was is I had only four lands in play, and I had two Fire Knights in hand along with the Pivot Needle. So I decided to, during my combat step, after the damage, but before the end of the combat, I was going to use them to tap both of the blue sources so I could get the Needle in play, drawing a land off one of the two Fire Knights. That didn't happen. I drew no land that turn at all, and basically wasted a turn where if I'd have flipped it over, I could have got more damage in, and maybe I would have had a better clock in play. I guess it was a matter of a choice. Is like, do I take the shot of getting the Needle in play early before he's on the active Tron, looking at a possible Mindslaver next turn if he dropped the last piece of Tron, or do I just flip over the angle and take the damage, and then he gets the Tron piece, and then he goes Mindslavering, and I'm locked on that on. So I went with a shot of trying to tap in the draw into land to get the Needle in play, so I could get the Needle in play, and didn't draw the land I needed. After that, I game two. I had two Needles in play, two Tormod's Crypt in play, one Meddling Mage in play, naming Triskelion. The two Needles were on Mindslaver and Academy Ruins, and he draws into two Mindslavers and two repeals to go into the Infinite Lock on me with him at three life. And that was kind of crappy because, boy, talking about disheartening loss. So, let's try to get this all back together and start round two now. Well, round one was a disheartening loss, to say the least. Played against a blue-green Slavertron deck. Game one, I had a needle in play for Mindslaver, and he was able to draw into a repeal off of a pair of Thirst for Knowledge. Get it off the board when he was at three life. He had enough mana with a Spellburst with Ryback to negate me being able to kill him or get the Tormite Crypt and sink the needle back into play or the lethal Lightning Helix. He stopped all three with a single Spellburst. I guess in retrospect, I played that wrong because I should have dropped the needle, let him go for it, and then with the Spellburst on the stack and made him have to have a second Spellburst, I could have played that better, I guess. That was a mistake I thought I made earlier in that game as well. For some reason, I didn't have to go back to the notes here. But it was. Oh, it's because I had four lands in play. Two with the blue, two with the red, source. Combination of white among those. Had a morphed angel in play, had a knight in play, and I was sending the morph and the knight, but the problem was is I had only four lands in play, and I had two fire knights in hand along with the pivot needle. So I decided to, during my combat step, after any damage, but before the end of the combat, I was going to use him to tap both of the blue sources so I could get the needle in play, drawing a land off one of the two fire knights. That didn't happen. I drew no land that turn at all, and basically wasted a turn where if I'd have flipped it over, I could have got more damage in, and maybe I would have had a better clock in play. I guess it was a matter of a choice. Do I take the shot of getting the needle in play early before he's on the active Tron, looking at a possible Mindslaver next turn if he dropped the last piece of Tron, or do I just flip over the angel and take the damage, and then he gets a Tron piece, and then he goes Mindslavering, and I'm locked on that on. So I went with a shot of trying to tap in the draw into land to get the needle in play, so I could get the needle into play, and didn't draw the land I needed. After that, game two, I had two needles in play, two Tormod's Crypt in play, one Metal Mage in play, naming Triskelion. The two needles were on Mindslaver and Academy Ruins, and he draws into two Mindslavers and two repeals to go into the Infinite Lock on me with him at three life. And that was kind of crappy, because, boy, talking about disheartening loss. So, let's try to get this all back together and start round two now. This is round two. Playing against
Alex Beerley.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, my round two went better, though it was hard fought. The guy was playing a dark Zoo deck or a Rakdos style deck. Rakdos, pretty much Rakdos. He had a Rakdos deck pretty much. It was heavy Guild Mage in there. It had critics, sack lands, a little dual lands. I did see some green lands with Herd Ape, and I assume probably sideboard cards, but I didn't see anything else that used green. He had Sudden Shocks in there, Demon Fire, Stronghold Crusader, the guy from Crusade, from Cold Snap that can jump in the air and get really large and be really annoying and whatnot. I didn't play game two particularly well, but I could have played it a lot better. I missed activating my... Actually, game one, I missed activating my counterbalance about seven times. And invariably, when I did activate, I always hit something. So, however, pretty much it came down to him having an early Guild Mage. It was really annoying that I had to fight through. Him making tokens, me using my Silver Knight as a defense block, hoping I'd draw a Jitty someday, but never did. He kept nibbling away at me with the stuff. Eventually, I got down enough mana to play a Exalted Angel, which he immediately killed with Demon Fire when he was also one land short from killing me with the Demon Fire. So, but he had to kill the Angel or it got completely ridiculous. So, I can't blame him for that. In the end, the judge made a mistake with the counterbalance and ruled incorrectly against the split cards, saying that my Fire Knights had to counter stuff that cost four instead of two. I argued with it for a little while. Repealed it to the head judge who upheld the regular judge's ruling. And, that was kind of annoying, but I guess my arguments were enough to make him go look it up on the internet because he came back at the end of the game and told me that, yeah, I was right. He was going to eat the mistake. But at that point, you know, damage was done in the game. It effectively allowed my opponent to cast a Viridian Shaman I guess that was the other green card. So Viridian Shaman remained still game one. And the Stronghold Crusader guy in the same turn, instead of being able to counter them both. So I ended up having to use it to kill them both, instead of killing the Rakdos Guildmage that was in play, like I wanted it to. Eventually, though, I was able to yank it out with my Miracoco, and allowing me to draw enough cards to get down deep enough to a second Fire Knight, which I killed his other guy, his Rakdos Guildmage with, and then shortly thereafter I got another Fire Knight, which killed his Stronghold Crusader in play, allowing me to attack for the win at one life. So that was pretty good. I was happy about that. At least I pulled that game out, even though I got ruled against. But then we corrected the ruling. Game two, he mulliganed to five. I kept a pretty stellar draw. At least I thought it was a stellar draw. He goes turn one land. I go turn one land. He goes turn two land, lots, molten rain. That kind of hurt. He had another molten rain again. And then his first creature he dropped was actually a Harkonnen, which killed one of my two lands in play at the time, which was an artifact land when I used it to when I jump blocked with a Blast Miner. So put damage on the stack, took them both out, took out my land too, so he knocked me back down to one land. But he had no cards left in hand at that point. He proceeded to get mana flooded. He got up to eight land in play with a deck that only had 20 land. I proceeded to draw two islands immediately thereafter. Play Morph Angel, proceeded to he then drew a creature which was a Stronghold Crusader. I drew another creature which was Meddling Mage, and then another Morph Angel, and with that I was able to defend and put in enough damage to keep myself alive and win at one life, and keep myself alive. That was it. At that point I was at like 12 life, and he went down all the way. So yeah, that was game two, but I was much happier with that. But he got mana flooded, I got mana screwed early, and then pulled out of it. Eventually got through enough damage. So round three will be against Adam Irwin. Game one against Irwin, he was playing Dirty Kitty. And that was annoying because he killed me turn three, game one. Game two, he busted out three Corrosion Grips and took out a Jitty and two Sphere of Laws on me. But eventually I was able to push through enough damage that I worked out and squeaked out a win. Game three, I don't remember exactly how I did it in game two now, but at this point. But game three, I had to open and draw with... Oh, and he also wrecked me with a double for turn one and turn two Cabal Therapies in game two. So, you know, I had, like, all kinds of... Just a variety of different cards, different removal, and eventually I just kept getting enough that he stalled out and I was able to pull through. Game three, I had a opening draw with four land and three Meddling Mages. Had to keep it. In that, I then drew Silver Knight, Umezawa Jitty, Stifle, Sphere of Law, and Exalted Angel. Back to back to back to back, and it mattered. And in the end, that's what I needed to win. So, got enough Jitty. He tried to kill me with the Quicksilver idea, but with the Silver Knight, the Jitty, for gaining life. I had the three Meddling Mages went out there for Prospector, Fecundity, and Corrosion Grip. I'd make sure the Corrosion Grip was his on the board before the turn. I then played the Jitty, so I could use it. Then I played the Sphere right after the turn. Right after that, he got through the damage, got me down to one using the Quicksilver, sacking all those guys. But in the end, he could have played a little bit better, and had the Quicksilver actually had a Sword of Fire and Ice on it too, so I couldn't actually block it with anything. But in the end, he was one damage short. And I had four counters to all my Jitty, so really nine damage short. But I was able to kill him with the Angel, Jitty, and Silver Knight. Sitting around being offensive for a while. Round four, me versus Steve Galanda, or Galenda.
Yeah, Galenda. It's three words, like Galenda hand, Galenda.
Galenda, okay. And so
we're both 2-1, I believe.
Oh yeah,
fighting for a chance.
Reminder to self: put the Leona Bolas back in the sideboard. Reminder: me and Steve Galenda ran to time, and I forced a draw in time on turns, but it was an exhausting match. We both got a headache because of it. Reminder to go over the details later. Round five against Patrick Smith, another Springs player. No good comes out of this match.
Round five against Patrick Smith, someone I know from the Springs.
wasn't sure what he was playing when I got here, or when I sat down with him. Turned out he was playing the worst possible matchup for my deck. He played Reanimator. Both games I went first. Both games I had turned to Belly Mage. Naming first game was Life and Death, second game was Goryeo's Vengeance. His first turn both games was Careful Study, or drop Sack Land, play Sack Land, get Watery Grave, cast Careful Study. I dropped the Medley Mage. He goes turn to the opposite of what I named. The game one, he got turn two Nicol Bolas and smashed me. Turn two Nicol Bolas and smashed me and made me waste my hand. Game two, it was Razia's Angel, the 6/3 haste vigilant flying angel that redirects damage from everything and everywhere and anything and out there. I don't know. It's pretty disheartening having to lose my worst matchup. Lose to my worst matchup with two god draws on top of that. So he had the perfect kill both games, basically. Basically, his third turn of the first game, the other card he ditched from the careful study was a pewter nymph, which he then proceeded to dredge during on his third turn. So he cast a stitch together to go get the Achroma that he then dredged to his graveyard. So, you know, I don't know. The Blasted Trinkets deck is not equipped to deal with Reanimator at all. Though it's equipped to deal with just about every other deck. So, except maybe Affinity. So Affinity is my second worst matchup, and Reanimator is my absolutely worst matchup. And of course, I had to run across the Reanimator deck today, and someone I knew. And we had to play for top 8 in the last round, because we both had too many draws beforehand, so. And he was 2-0-2 going in that round. I was 2-1-1, so we ended up having to play. I'm just kind of, at least he'll do well, but if he gets more draws like that the rest of the day, then I don't think anything stops that deck. But that's just, you know, my take on Reanimator. And when it's too cheap and too easy, it gets retarded. And I even had the best possible draw against some bowl games, too, where I dropped turn 2 Deadly Mage. My only real hope against that deck is to lock him out of his reanimation spell he happens to have in hand if he has one. In which case, I named the wrong one both times. So, I don't know if there's a lot I can do about that. Back on round 4, me and Steve Galenda, the other top 8 Magic winner, a long time from near the get-go, he was playing Tron. So, I went first, game 1, dropped turn 2 Blast Miner, main deck. And he asked, you running those main deck? And he's like, yeah, I'm running a main deck. And proceeded to wreck face with him as I ramped up to double Blast Miner mana. And he was playing Tron with virtually no basics in it, except maybe 1 or 2. So he scooped game 1. Game 2, he repealed my second turn miner, Wrath of Godded my third turn miner, and with that Wrath of God, then I dropped an angel out there, which he... And got it. As soon as I put the turn after I unmorphed it, he wrapped it out of it too. And then we played Tug of War for a while until he dropped a Eternal Dragon against my second angel. And we played Stalemate for a bit. Then he drops Sundering Titan. I stifle it. He counters my stifle. It's like, alright. Then he attacks with I build up enough creatures. Taking some damage in the process, but I build up enough creatures to block it. He attacks, I block it with everything, kill it. And that time, my second ability of his also triggers off. No, actually, sorry, I didn't kill it. He rebanded it. He repealed it back to his hand, causing the second ability to go off. Dropped it the third time, and I never recovered from that. Game 2. Game 3, I get no early Blast Miner this time. I get a bunch of different stuff out there. I get two Pithy Needles eventually in play, one on Mindslaver, one on, actually both on Mindslavers. Medley Mage on Wrath, a Medley Mage on Triskelion, and a Redley Mage on Repeal. Eventually, somehow, because of it, and because of his Eternal Dragon sitting on defense, I'm never able to get enough damage in to stop him. He does have Decrees, I did have Cycles, but it didn't matter that much. Eventually, I get him down to 6 life, and he stabilizes the board, and I can't get in any more damage. He can't get any damage into me for a while. Till he gets a couple of Sundering Titans, wipes out my land base. And then, with the time I had left in the game, time got called about that point, and with the time left, and the lands left, and the creatures I had left, I was able to jump block enough to, force a draw. with him at 6 life, and before he dropped the Sundering Titans, I was at 28 life, so I was able to eventually get down to 4 life when time expired, and forced a draw with him. Pretty hard fought match, actually. It's pretty even, but I thought I should have done better with the main deck last miners against Tron than I did, because I actually lost. I got a draw that game. My other loss was against a blue-green post deck, both or blue-green Tron deck. I mean, that I'm surprised the main deck Blast Miners, which is exactly what it's in there for, didn't pull through those games as well as I would have expected them to. So maybe time to re-examine that philosophy or not, I don't know. But hey, they were pretty good. Every time I got them used, they were good. They've been used full every time I pretty much got them in play. So, you know, I'm going to get Steve Glenda to talk about the match, too, a little bit, because it's pretty interesting. We both got a headache because of it, because of how long and how hard it was. Anyways, at this point, I failed to make top 8. I did have the highest tiebreaker of all the 7-pointers going into this round, sitting in 8th place. But with the loss to Reanimator, I missed the top 8 in any prizes involved. So I'll hang out maybe a little bit. Either I'm going to go to another tournament in the cross town, or I'm going to talk about some of the people I know how they did later on. So this is right now. This is Otwell signing off.
All right. So continuation of the podcast for Top 8 Magic. GBT trial for Dallas. I'm going to set this on the table like that. So Steve and Ray can both talk. And yes, I beat you, Ray.
That'd be me.
Oh yeah. Sorry, we already set it down.
Are you
dead air?
I'm already.
Okay, so, there,
no dead air.
So, yeah, seriously. I think we'll have considerably less dead air than that podcast. This won't be the worst podcast up on those boards. Although, we amateurs, I can only imagine how the rest of the nation shall scoff. I'll listen to it. I'm an egotist. I want to hear the sound of my own voice.
Exactly.
Basically, Piley, or Christopher Otwell, as his real name is, played myself 4th round, and we went to turn 5, game 3, and a meddling mage, and one hit from an exalted angel saved him at 4 life from my double Sundering Titan madness. I couldn't close the deal, basically. He played really well, actually. The best play in the entire series came game 3, turn 2, where I go... Oh, did you play... No, you played first. So you're turn 3. Because you played first. So I took game 2 after you raped
right.
game 1.
Well,
that's kind of index Dwarven Blast Miner people.
Dude, they're good.
They are good. They're really right. good. That's the tech. Main deck Dwarven Blast Miner, and a Tron player will not only be pissed 2 hours later, he will not win game 1. In fact, he will have to repeal your second turn Blast Miner game 2 and then ramp turn 3 off of Chrome Mox just to take care of the damn thing. But what
he's good. He could have won lead game 2 too.
So what happened was turn 2, I drop a Cigna off of 2 pieces of Tron, and Otwell here disenchants it, which keeps me double white for about 7 turns. Yeah, and he won because of it, because he flipped the Exalted Angel the next couple turns. I repealed it the first time, but he gave me off a wrath, so when he won it 4 life, it was because the disenchant on the Signet.
They brought me all the disenchant on the Signet that brought me all the time in the world in game 3 to force the draw this.
I got to talk about this. I just slaver locked someone with hardcore. Like, I hardlocked them with the slaver and the academy runes. I turned 4. They wouldn't concede. They made me do it for 25 turns. And I'm like, my arms got tired. So I said, screw it. I just made a bunch of angel tokens and I beat them over the head.
Why would you argue tired?
Huh?
Why'd you argue tired?
Because I'm out of shape.
Well, you're reaching over the board?
Yeah.
Well, you just tell them what to do. That's what you're supposed to do, Mindslayer. You just tell them what to do.
I've never played with Mindslayer before.
You don't actually have to test a card.
Oh, well. I'm just a moronic fool, but my arms are tired still.
Okay.
And then I excited out the Mindslayers because I knew it was going to win that way.
Really? Yeah.
Had to go to Plan B in game 2.
Well, she was white weenie, so it didn't really matter what I set it in at that point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my server's not going to be any good, usually. Unless you get the perfect
BS
draw.
I decided in condemns.
Okay.
They seemed good.
Think so. Did you win, though?
Oh, yeah.
So you made top 8?
They can't beat a rap again.
Alright. Bose, you made top 8.
Oh, yeah. I made top 8. Ray made top 8. He knocked out trying
Dobby.
To draw a Charlotte.
Dobby made top 8. Come on, now.
Dobby, whatever, man.
You look like an elf.
He looks exactly like Dobby.
Okay.
He looks like
Dobby.
from Harry Potter, no doubt.
Yeah. You do. He was named that by a drunken man with one leg.
What'd you do?
No joke.
So what'd you do?
What?
One in the main, one in the side.
Oh. That's it?
In the side.
You beat me with one main deck?
No, I sideboarded.
No, you sideboarded in because I beat you in game one.
Yeah. So I got my trike. I run one trike and one Sundering Titan main as opposed to two Sundering Titans. Oh, and I also run four Condescends as opposed to that guy's list. He ran two Condescends, three Memory Lapse, and three Reman. I run four Reman and four Condescends because they help you get Tron better than Memory Lapse. And I
Memory Lapse is a better tempo card than
Yeah, but I don't have any Memory Lapses, so. That was
true. They're only Homelands. The best card's Homelands.
That's true. No, it was, I wanted to hit Tron more consistently, and testing with Condescend showed it helped me hit Tron very, very well.
Alright, so I agree with Condescend, but I think Memory Lapses are a better choice over Remands, because of the tempo they give you.
I don't know, I really like Remands. I really like drawing the cards.
Well, alright, there's one matchup.
It's actually a really good topic for debates.
Alright, the perfect example, well, this is a good debate topic, but the perfect deck matchup, where Memory Lapse is everything versus Remand, is Tess. Because if you put their skull back in their hand, they can recast them most of the time. But if you put their Manic Skull on top of their deck, you can make them just fizzle out that turn.
But every other deck, if I turn to Remand, a draw card is a lot easier for me not only to hit my land drops, because I'm only running 21 land and 3 Chrome Moxes, but also helps me hit the Tron.
It's like a time walk. The Memory Lapse, in both cases, are like a time walk in that case.
True.
I mean, unless you need to draw the land and play it that same turn,
yeah,
I wouldn't worry about the Remands in that case. Because in either case, you'd get the same result with Memory Lapse on that second turn. It's a debatable topic.
It is. I was just impartial to the Remands. My only real tech this whole day is in my iPod, because it's kept me sane. I just got it in the mail.
What's that?
You rolled my eyes.
Yeah, I don't blame you, really. But it's kept me calm. It's kept me under control when I get angry. It's helping me focus, actually. Like, I drive, I have to listen to music.
No,
I type essays, I have to listen to music. I've been playing Magic forever. I filled up my iPod with just a bunch of songs that pumped me up. You might have noticed I was attempting to write rap while I was playing against you, along with lyrics, which was pretty poor on my part. But
I don't disagree with the concept, because it takes me an hour to 2-hour drive or 3-hour drive or something like this. But yeah, I live south of Colorado Springs.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
so I have a whole lot of dead time in the car by myself, and I usually use the music in the car for that reason.
Totally.
Or sometimes I'll bust out Sun Tzu's Art of War and just listen to it on the way up here.
That'd be a really weird thing to listen to, considering how weird it is to read.
Dude, it's actually worth. It's absolutely must read.
It is. I've read it like 7 times. I've had it since the 8th grade. I've read it almost every year since the 8th grade.
Yeah, I've got an MPEG audio file of the book on file on my computer. Yeah. So
I don't like listening to books like that, but I actually have this thing where I will not listen to. I won't even listen to read poetry. I won't go to a poet's reading, even if I really like a book. And, the judge is pushing me to finish. I got illegal sleeves. I bought really bad sleeves at the beginning of the tourney against the judge's knowledge, and I got to go switch them out for some good sleeves because they got marked up this.
Both of the judge and the owner are the same person.
Yeah.
He sold him the sleeves that he's now banning from the tournament.
No. His associate sold me the sleeves without his knowledge.
Mm.
So it's not his fault. And just, you know, everyone here in Colorado who's listening to this Enchanted Grounds, Highlands Ranch, what? I'm not saying anything bad, man. No, it's a really nice store. It's probably the nicest mansion nice store I've ever been in. Because you actually have a lot of respectable people walking to and fro. You just don't have a bunch of smelly players like ourselves.
Well, respectable, and it's a nice place. It's a nice design. It's a
coffee shop.
It's part coffee shop, part restaurant, part gaming. It's actually a really nice facility.
I saw a hot chick walk in, which I've never seen happen in a real game store. So,
oh, you know the conventions are all big tournaments, huh?
I've been to big tournaments. Most of the chicks are just, except for because they play Magic.
All right. Wow. A couple years ago, at the pre-release?
I said it, man. Leave me alone.
A couple years ago, we had a pre-release at Red and Jerry's, right?
Yeah.
The other, all right. But the, another event they had the same day was a modeling photo shoot.
So basically, people, you need to come here to Colorado to play Magic the Gathering. Don't listen to all these people like New York's the place to be. No, man, we got the Vintage World Champ here. We got one pro. We got Samara.
We got a former pro and David Price who moved back to New York.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And
we got
MG Moshowitz who moved back to New York.
That's true. We have Kutu Moshowitz, Dan Frazier.
Yeah,
he came out.
Oh, he's still out here. Yeah, but he's getting pretty old. He doesn't do many scenes anymore. He did show up a couple weeks ago somewhere.
I heard about that. We've got a really good community, and most of us stay in touch. We have our own website and our own forum that we stay in touch on called Springboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Colorado is a good place to play. I like it a lot. Better than any state neighboring, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe we have some bonuses, like we can go skiing. We'll have 40-degree weather with the sun blaring hot.
Yeah. We got CU Boulder. Great college. We're
debatable.
Hey, man, I work for CU Boulder.
All right.
And I go there. I really like the school.
I went to CTU, so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just joking.
Dude, I make a lot of money.
No, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you make a lot more money than I'll come within even 5 years.
What's funny is I gave up my doctorate degree last year.
I couldn't
get the motivation to finish my doctorate.
My ideally, I want to get a doctorate in English as a professor. If I can't pull up, I want to be a writer. Realistically, you know, that doesn't happen to everyone.
No.
So
you have to get lucky too.
Yeah, you really do. I think I might have a luck factor. I mentioned earlier that the reason I might not be able to go to Dallas was I actually have to get a mental health evaluation for schizophrenia. The only good thing that could happen from that, if I'm diagnosed, is I think I'm automatically given a book deal. If you look at all the famous writers,
right.
Like, oh man, this guy was crazy. We ought to read him. Like, not everyone signed that. Some people just have to be Ezra Pound and write mediocre to decent stuff with one exception. And that's crazy. I'm the judge just threatened me. I gotta leave.
Yeah, he's gotta go finish his flea swapping thing with the judge and the owner. What? Yes. Oh, you're the owner. I mean,
he doesn't shut up anyways. So, this is Ray.
This is back to Ray.
I would take first place in the 5-round twist.
Oh, you finished first?
I finished first at 12 points.
So Gaius might get there?
Gaius might get there. It's going to get there.
You're hoping to get there?
Well,
you get lucky draws, or you're just fighting through the hard?
I'm fighting through everything hard. I had one matchup where my opponent just kind of didn't play the game, so that really helped.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty much a pretty hard fight. My one loss was the only deck that I was pretty confident against, so that kind of reversed my theory on that. And I guess we'll see how top 8 goes.
That was good.
We can
good.
Take it all the way.
Good luck here. And Patrick, who decided to annihilate me with 2 God Gods, with my worst matchup.
I hope you play, dude. So badly, I want to play against you.
What are
you
playing? He's got sideboard.
I'm not telling you.
He's got tech sideboard that can stop your deck.
I'll just look at
your face-up sideboard on the table and know.
I figured it out because of Tesla, actually. Damn thing! Yeah, that kind of wrecks me.
You kind of?
Kind of.
Yeah, let me go get my time-shifted Achromas, the red ones.
All right.
Put those in there instead.
Think of something funny and say presidential to use for Top 8 Magic.
Excuse me?
Think of something funny to say as an intro for Top 8 Magic.
I'm not funny.
See, there you go. That's what you get.
Is that about it?
That's what you're getting.
Is that about as funny as you get? Or as smooth as you get?
That's about all you're getting.
No, actually, that's about it. You know how Canadian this guy is? I occasionally do Canadian tests. Like this one day, I was like, dude, I found this big box of Canadian money. He's like, oh, really? And he got all psyched. I was like, he's like, let me have it. I'm like, dude, why would I find a giant box of Canadian money?
He does too. I call him at random times and he'll just be like, hey, guess what I found?
Maple syrup. You might want me to bring some back?
Dude, I love that.
How'd you get a shirt? Honestly.
Oh, wait. Actually, point out the fact that I'm actually wearing the Top 8 Magic shirt that I was ordained with from up high. You see the back yet?
I did.
I go back to the kick-ass picture.
BDM
drew the picture.
Yeah.
But no, they gave it to me as a Christmas present for my previous contribution.
Nice.
So,
cool. That's what you get for not being a slacker and just a forum lurker like myself.
Well, that and I've been also the butt of some jokes over there, too.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You don't play 61 cards.
Oh, you remember that one. Okay.
I died laughing when I read that. The 61 card thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, just play 61 cards enough times for this to matter. I'm like, not that many people. And then they mentioned you, and it was great.
It was pretty funny. No, that's cool, you know. They gave it to me like half a dozen times, though.
I must say, though, your worst misplay, not as funny as the other worst misplays we had up on that board. This was almost romantic.
I don't even remember which one I posted.
You posted one where you ripped up your Master Core.
Oh, that. Well, that's because that's the most disheartening one.
But I thought it was like borderline romantic, because the girl kept all the pieces and she brought it to you.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
She brought it to me 6 months later.
Yeah, see?
After we started dating. Yeah, it's cool. And some people say it's potentially disturbing because You could be a stalker, like you wondered.
Yeah, I would love personally to get stalked. So, by a girl. This is on national.
This is true. I did it in America.
So. Yeah, no. I thought it was, you know.
It was cool.
I'm hopeless romantic, so I was like, that's cool.
It's one of my more memorable moments.
Definitely.
And I still carry it around in my box of cards at home. I have it, a special spot where I can go get it. And it reminds me sometimes of just how bad of a player I really am.
Very humbling, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I still. I get my humbles from being able to play test with Ray all the time. Ray's got 110 record points on me. We've played in actual sanction matches like 5 or 6 times. I think he has a 4-2 lead on me.
Okay.
Sanction matches. We don't count the type one where he just conceded to me because I was going to school him.
Right.
So that would have been 4-3.
Was it sanctioned for that matter?
No, it wasn't sanctioned. It was okay. Boxes. So that's why he's 4-2. So that's my humbles when I get plus with but much more talented than myself.
I used to look that up, but certain stats against some people. I was like Paul Bradford was like a upper 1800 level player down the Springs, but yeah, I was got kicked out of his door down there. He can't play. But I was something like 11-5 against an insanctioned madness. Some ridiculous. I mean, like Ryan, I'm like 4-18 or something ridiculous.
I'm 0-1 against Ryan because I'm an idiot. I had the win in my hand. I had the win in my hand. I didn't see it. I have this thing where I start, if I get frustrated and I focus too much on stuff, I'll focus on the board and I won't focus on my hand. It's one of my flaws as a player that I'm slowly working on,
yeah.
And it cost me our match. I could have dropped him to 1, and I had a small box in my hand. And I didn't even notice the small box.
I sometimes overlook minor things like that, too, just focusing on. I get too defensive in game, and I forget how to be an offensive at the same time.
Sure.
I've done that and cost myself some draws sometimes, because I play it slower decks than most people. But no, my best match against Tamira so far, sanction match, it was, it was game 3, back in the, after Affinity already got banned,
yeah.
In Meriden Standard, right? So anyways, he's playing this green, mono-green deck, a whole bunch of elves, rest of a bunch of mana, cast Beacon of Creation, makes a bunch of beats, right?
Yeah.
I get no land draw, no land draw, no land draw, no land draw, ball getting down to 3.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
That's Fred Jones.
So I'm moving down to 3, because I could, like, draw a land out of my deck or something, right?
Yeah.
And I proceed to beat him straight up. I'm on a 3-land, or a 3-card draw. Against the Beacon of Creation, infinite creatures.
What's our top 8 like, actually, out of curiosity? Do you know our top 8? I know we have a Harpy.
Oh, I was going to.
We have a No-Stick.
Right.
We have a Blue-White Tron. We have a Reanimator. We have a 2 5-color Zeus.
Okay.
So that's 7. Two Gaia's might get there. What's the mystery person here? The scenario. Is there goblins in our top 8?
I played against a goblin deck earlier. I don't know if he made top 8.
I'm not sure. That's 7 of the 8. That's like people get an idea for what's in our top
8. He did ask me if I won or lost. So he cares about the Cybergers, so he might win.
Are you going to stick out in the top 8 and do a podcast for that? Or are you going to?
I was originally planning on either doing that or if enough of people I knew left or got knocked out. Run across town to see another match.
Okay. Hey, Tucker, should we get in the top 8?
What?
Should we get in the top 8?
All right.
Who beat you last round? Who? What's he playing?
Who's that kid? That's not a kid. He's almost damn near 30.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, Lou, he called you a kid.
Not Lou.
Did you play him?
What are you playing? You're in the top 8, right? You're the only person we don't know.
Yeah.
Did
you play him?
No.
Oh. He called you a kid. That's all.
What's his name?
I feel like 30.
No, brother, take Fuji. Getting there, though. 4 years. Thanks, father.
All right, well, I figured it out. You met the guy in the beanie. That guy in the hat. We checked out when he was
hanging. I don't know.
I just thought you were saying
that. I'm sure they got all the people.
I thought you were when you were except. I think Joe is out for letting you
into
the did you take count with a
5? I did 9 points.
Yeah. You went to more classic. Your deck resembles the. It's more like the first one that hit magically the week after the Thief hit top.
Oh, I saw one on Moto the week before Lura.
Yeah, we got Boros in top 8.
Wait, is that 9 people.
At least.
Let's go back through this.
All right. Let's go to...
Yeah.
I was going to go, I forgot to do that. I was going to go track down what everyone was playing and write them all down, but I didn't draw any quick right. matches earlier.
We know for a fact Samara's in a heartbeat.
Yep, got one heartbeat.
We know for a fact that the No-Champ player's in. Or
yeah,
no stick.
No stick. We got Reanimator.
We have Reanimator.
They went off with Reanimator.
We have Rei Wuzu.
Rei Wuzu. He's playing Gary's Might, number 4.
If there are 9 people that
you would
get in.
You with Tron.
I'm in with Tron.
All right. That's 5. You said there's a Boros.
Theoretically, there's a Boros. Theoretically, there's a Trinket Angel. And theoretically, there's another Zoo. But
that makes
for
eight.
Some reason...
That makes it.
Maybe I just miscounted. I don't know.
You got 4 people that were sitting there. You got me. You got... Right there.
Yes.
6. You got you. 7. Next table over is the hobby at 8.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
But...
Excellent. Yeah. I'm a fan of all the top 8.
Fine.
I know how to play against every match.
Was there any deck you had?
Stoked. I'm
against everything.
Yeah, you do. You
have
to agree to
it. I'm
already making
it past round.
You're
playing, you know.
Oh, yeah, back to that one story, right?
Yeah.
Don't. You had a...
Dude, hold on 1 sec. I gotta go talk with someone I'm gonna make dress and drag later on this year. I'll be right back.
Oh, dude. He's
you
looking bored
right now?
He's looking bored
though. No. I'm not gonna make you dress and drag right now.
You want me to turn it off?
You can go talk to some other people in top 8.
Alright, I'm gonna set this off for a second.
First place is...
Rei Huo.
Second place is Ryan Chimera.
Samara.
Alex Lee is third. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua is fourth. Patrick Smith is fifth.
Well, I guess we get to see a top 8, former top 8 player in the Pro Tour. Ryan Samara is going to be playing against Steve Blonda in the top 8 for quarterfinals. I'm just going to hang out over here.
Make comments.
Annoy the players. Because Ryan does it to me in all my matches. This is with Lou Christopher. Because I decided to drag him over to the corner for a minute. Because he likes to play Legacy a lot.
I
and talked about Extended. Why don't you talk about what you think about Legacy?
Well, I've been testing so much for Extended right now. I don't know too much about the Legacy metagame. I know Ill-Gotten Gains, Iggy Pop, a deck created by Mike Baumholt, is still a very good deck. I think a lot of strategy is going to be shifting with the printing of Extra Fate. I know I'm not going to say that.
Extra, Extra Pite or Extra Fate or something. Yeah, I keep wanting to call it Extrapolate, but it's not.
I think that's going to, you know, a lot of Legacy is graveyard-based.
Yeah.
Strategy. So
this 12-mile script was a huge improvement for us to fight Legacy and Extended with.
For sure. Having that reprinted in Fast Forward.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, Goblins is always going to be good over there. I think it's probably gotten a lot better with all the Red Excel and Empty the Warrens, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a wide open format too, which... God, it just makes me so excited to play. When there's nothing dominating, it's more fun for me.
Right. So today's it. You played the Green Blue
Slavertron.
Slavertron.
It's a build.
You didn't make top 8. I thought you did.
No. I finished 3-2. I lost to Mono White, White Weenie. It was just, she got a god draw both games, 1 turn 4. And then I ended up playing Zoo the round after. Against Rei, you know, not a bad player. And so I kept 2 suspects, 6 hands after mulling both games, and I should have mulled to 5 both times. I didn't, and I lost in short fashion.
Rei actually finished in first place, and he was playing, not necessarily Zoo, but he was playing Gaz Might Get There.
Okay.
The five color deck.
Zoo-like?
You can sort of call it like that, but it's really based around Swiftblade.
Okay.
Flip Blade and Armadillo Cloak.
I think it's a good deck. It's It's pretty fast.
That's the whole point. It has the ability to go nuts on, kill you on turn four with a ridiculously large double striker.
It seems pretty consistent also. I think we need a wasteland in this format right now. It seems like
we do.
Pretty good.
We got one, Ghost Quarter.
Ghost Quarter, yeah. That's
Ghost Quarter is really good against Tron.
It is. It's against almost Zoo, Boros, I would imagine them as well.
Yeah.
Trinket
really,
Angel probably.
Yeah, Trinket Angel only runs between two and four basic lands. Against the Tron decks, they generally run at most three basic lands.
I had
it busts up the Tron against Cloudpost, it breaks up their infinite mana ability.
Yeah.
It's really good in a lot of cases. So, if you really want a wasteland effect, then you just use Ghost Quarters.
Why isn't anybody playing Ghost Quarters?
Everybody wants to use their own dual lands.
That's true.
I mean, the only one that can get away with it truly probably is. Probably like a Tron deck or something, because it has the artifact mana too.
Well, see, I was thinking of maybe a. A loam style deck.
Or green white. I guess green white, the Flores rock green white deck can also get away with it too.
I like Bymasha Kudzu and Crucible of the Worlds. I think. I've thought about Ghost Quarters before. It's not like it's totally off my radar, but. It's a wide open format. Like I said, there's so many options out there for sure.
Yeah, we have eight different decks making the top eight in this case. I believe 48 players today. I forgot to get the list so that everybody was playing what they were playing. But for the most part, I didn't see but maybe one copy of any one given deck here, except for like in the case of Cricket Angels where it was like two copies, me and someone else.
I think there might have been two or three TPS and maybe two or three Dirty Kitty. I think those were the only red decks that I saw.
I didn't see any tests at all, but I saw one Dirty Kitty, so yeah.
I know Dave was playing it, and I believe one guy was at the tables.
All right, so probably no more than two copies of any one given deck.
Right,
then.
For sure.
Which I think shows, you know, very healthy, healthy extended.
First place was Ray Hool, who had the Gaz might get there. Second place was Ryan Samira playing Heartbeat of Spring.
Oh, actually,
the Nostalgic Dreams deck.
They're playing Gaz might get there is. Which I thought was that. That's actually the mirror in that top eight match.
Oh, they're playing the mirror match. Okay, that would explain that. So he's not getting an eight.
Ray opted for Meddling Mage over the Molten Rain slot, which Dobby is running. So I don't know if that's going to have any bearing.
It does. It does. He does. Really knows how to shout out somebody.
Way to play that too.
Ray won against Dobby.
I conceded.
After I beat him first round, game.
I drew six lands in a row. I mean, how do you not lose a bad girl?
Doesn't play a real match.
Yeah.
Playing their match.
Except I draw Isamar and he draws Kurdate.
Two Giz. So actually, it's two Giz might get the deck and top eight.
You lost off balance.
So you lost?
Oh, of course.
Alright, so the no-stake loss in the quarterfinals.
What'd you play against?
I played against Boros. Against Boros, okay.
There's no way I could win against that. It came down
to just wrecked you with Molten Rains.
Yeah, game one, two Molten Rains, and I didn't have one counterspell. If I had one counterspell, the whole thing changed. I locked him out on turn six.
Alright.
I had the pieces. I even got the combo out, so. And it didn't. No, I got the chant out, and.
The other results in the quarterfinals is Patrick beat the other Trinket deck who made the top 8, which is a reanimator deck in a long drawn out game that I'm surprised it went long drawn out. And Ryan has just lost game 1 against the Tron deck. Alright. Starting game 2 of the quarterfinals with Steve and Ryan. Steve decided to mulligan. Him all going down to 6. He decided to draw 7 instead of 6. Look at him. Forced the mulligan again. Now he's going down to 5. He's not happy. So, torqued off attitude now. Well, I guess Steve has more reason to be pissed off about his draws, because at 5 cards, it wasn't good enough. And 4 cards was not good enough. So now he's busted it down to 3, hoping he gets some kind of mana production. And Steve's on the play. But he's keeping 3. And Ryan Smear is now mulling over his 7 guard deck.
Molten Rain is good.
What's your name?
My name is Alex.
I should have been like recording this and whatnot. Well, you got to see the whole action.
Which, for the top
yeah.
4, top 8?
Yeah, we all are.
Event recap.
Yeah, you didn't recap from the quarterfinal or from the semifinal.
Takes his time, thinking every play through.
Oh my god.
The best ones, but
getting
oh
lost backed out.
We left at the beginning of
Samara versus
slow player.
Who was he playing? Samara versus Steve.
Steve Volanda.
And like, oh my god, that match.
Yeah.
The match took 2 hours.
It did?
2 hours. And Samara
went. Samara went 0-2 in games against him, but picked up the last two. Right?
Wow.
He lost game one.
He lost game one.
No, he lost game one to a Mindsliver lock. But game two, Steve mulliganed the three.
Yeah, Steve had kind of a really bad... Steve went mulligan from seven, draw six, not realize he had six cards in hand, draw a seventh card.
The
gift
shot
back to five.
All the modified, yeah.
Yep.
No land.
Went two more times?
No land. Land.
No land. Multiple.
And then he gets a three land draw with one Tron piece.
Yep. And he still made the game go. Play that game still went like 25, 30 minutes or something. That one.
Either he drew really well or Ryan decided to take all his time and just put all the lands in play.
He got a trick bind. Ryan went off, and he trick binded the brain freeze.
Oh, wow.
And so Ryan had to go off again.
That's
sweet. Did he drop, or did he...
Game three.
Did he draw?
That took...
Trick bind's good. Trick bind, he screwed me a trick bind, too. Over instead of cycle, Steve screwed me a trick bind a couple times. Yeah.
Game three took forever.
I guess that was better.
It's better than that is cheaper. But it's counterable.
It is counterable, but it also lets you play... whatever you want, and you only keep one mana open.
Yeah.
I think that's really feeling for it. Plus, unless you turn one, you know, tempo swing, sack lane, get stifled. So.
I would never play trick bind. I don't disague with it. I mean, what did he use it on?
They serve different utility purposes.
Yeah, trick bind
and stifle serve different utility purposes.
Like, you really want trick bind against Ryan.
You really want
trick bind. But against anything else,
yeah, because he runs four counter spells in the sideboard to deal with
anything else
counters.
Yep.
So.
Any other deck is format.
Hopefully, not annoying you too much by standing here.
Who was it? Steve. In the end of that match.
Yeah, we should be getting.
Yeah,
pause.
No.
Pause. Let her drink some of that first, so she doesn't dump it in.
That's why.
Alright, let's talk. At the end of the Steve versus Samara match, basically what ends up happening is they're basically bluffing off each other with Ryan building up land, playing Sakura Tribe Elders and stuff and sacking them, and Steve basically just passing turn, he played a Melee Mage, he got countered, he countered back, Ryan countered again, and that was the end of that. A couple turns later, he played another Melee Mage, that got countered, then they just went... Draw go, with Ryan doing a couple of small plays. Then Ryan attempted to go off and basically got through halfway through it. No, he got halfway through it. And then Cunning Wished and got a mana short. And Ryan did. And then played mana short
awesome.
And then Ryan and then Steve just flipped his hand up and it was triple trick by no counters. That did it. That was it.
That was game three?
Triple trick by no counters. He couldn't do anything.
Got emptied the pool.
Yep.
Awesome, man.
Got tapped out, and then he scooped to it because obviously he was going to lose right then.
Right.
Fantastic play.
Mana short?
No, get your mana short in the middle of it.
In the middle of it,
stop you right there.
Yep.
Let's go any further. Just make sure it's cool. Just make sure it's cool. It's a little validate. It's going to be cool.
Can you wish on mana short?
That's beautiful.
The only comedy of the entire that entire match.
It also empties mana pool too, so it does two things.
Ryan randomly kept asking Steve how many cards he had all the time.
Ryan does
always.
That as a habit, and he does it to everybody.
Everybody.
Oh my god!
Right
he
there?
Was like five
every turn.
Still five. Still yet again five.
Three? Yeah.
Yes, I told Ryan that too.
He once asked me that three times during his turn while I was tapped out.
While you were tapped out?
Yeah. It was his turn.
Yep.
How many cards do you have in your hand? At the beginning. Then he
I don't know.
Off.
Also,
yeah.
Ryan
has a thing. That is a bad habit of him.
How many cards do you have?
He also has this thing where, like...
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Is that when you were playing Heartbeat? And
he has this bad thing also where... Like,
yeah.
He, like, if he gets nervous or he gets into a...
Ryan?
Basically, if he gets under pressure... He ends up with bad math. I swear to God, bad math.
Really?
Not with his own plays necessarily, but bad math with, like, Steve repealed his own signet, drew off the repeal, got the signet back in hand, and it took the judge, like,
45 seconds to explain to Ryan how he got 8 cards in his hand at that point. When he obviously got 8 because of that. Ryan's like, no, he got an extra card. He got an extra card somehow. He kept saying that he got an extra card. Like, no, he didn't. He had 5, he went repeal, draw, get the thing, or no. He had 6 and get repeal and thing. That's how he got 8.
Right, he got 3 cards for repeal, yeah. Basically.
And Ryan couldn't figure it out.
2 cards.
He ended up, he went from 6 to 8.
1 more.
Yeah, right. He got 2, the card never built, so.
That happened from 6 to 7. Twice.
Yeah.
Twice. Ryan goes bad math. He can't add, like, subtract 1, add 2. Can't figure out what that equals.
Blue spell bomb or the red spell bomb? Which one did you say? I said repeal spell bomb.
No, Signet.
Oh, Signet.
Signet.
Yeah. He was doing
Signet.
Azorius. Steve was doing that trying to get, yeah, it was Azorius. Steve was doing that trying to get stuff that would be useful against Ryan.
Cards, yeah.
As opposed to Signet, or repeal, which is not.
Yeah. Well, but it's not stellar, but it can be used in Heartbeat at least. Basically, Ryan just took the slow route and killed him without needing to ever have a Heartbeat in play.
Yeah, took forever.
He did that match.
Basically, that match was being compared to watching paint dry.
Exactly.
And then we were pretty much told by multiple people that watching paint dry is more exciting.
Ryan's played Heartbeat better than anyone else I know, but you know what? He knows it better than anyone else.
He knows. He's master.
I would have bet that he sideboarded out the Heartbeats in that game.
No, he did not.
He didn't sideboard?
He had three Heartbeats to play when he...
I've seen him actually play match when he sideboarded out Heartbeat. It's so weird.
But he goes aggro. If he goes aggro, yeah, I think...
No, you want to have him.
But Ryan never played Heartbeat with the aggro board, ever.
He doesn't play the aggro board anyway.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
But no, he doesn't sideboard. He sideboards out Heartbeat in some matches. He doesn't do it against aggro like Affinity or something.
I can tell you he did not side him out against Ray either.
Okay.
In the finals.
No, he didn't. I play him where he's actually sideboarded him out against him on occasions, or against other matches I've watched him actually do it. He'll take out the Heartbeats and still beat you with it.
So the hard way?
The hard way. Because he knows he has enough time, he doesn't have to have...
Yeah.
He can wait until he has 8 land to play.
The finals?
Then he can just go off.
The finals? Ray outraced him game 1, just purely outraced him and killed him. Game 2... I didn't watch much of it, but apparently Game 2, Ray made some mistake, and Ryan was able to come out and kill him.
Okay.
Game 3 came down to the wire, with Ray actually knocked Ryan down to 2 life, and Ryan went off. And ended
what's
up...
Ray's defense? What's Ray's only hope in someone against him?
Ray had played Orm's Chant earlier during the match and stopped him. But basically, Ryan went off, and Ray didn't have an answer for it. And he went off and ended up with probably 20-plus cards by the end of going off, 20-plus cards in his hand with 3 cards left in his library. Ray has he has untapped mana, and he has a Grim Lavamancer in play with Ryan at 2. Ryan decides to play the Cunning Wish and get a Honey Pack, puts 24 4/4s into play, and then... Or before he did that, this is before he drew down to 3 cards. He ended up going down to 3 cards after doing that, and he needed to get his last Cunning Wish to get a Echoing Truth to win the game, and his last 3 cards were land, Cunning Wish, land. He didn't draw into it. He had no more draw spells left in his hand, and no Nostalgic Dreams. So he pitched down, Ray just untapped and killed him. He had the match if he didn't, get bad luck with that.
That's really bad luck.
And
yeah, he just needed his last Cunning Wish to get an Echoing Truth. He had Triple Heartbeat in play. He had, he still had untapped lands, and he managed to spend everything and not burn. But
he didn't draw enough cards in the process, either.
Yep. Well, yeah, he was down to 3 cards. And he couldn't, even if he had an ideas, he couldn't ideas, because he would have decked himself. He had 3 cards, he would have ideas, drawn three, mm-hmm. Cunning Wish,
be right.
Bounce, untapped, and since he played Honey Pack, he wouldn't have been able to do it.
Oh, he didn't have an action.
Because he had to swing to win.
Who, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he used to kill Mozart to keep the Grim Lavamancer anyway.
Yep, he couldn't echo. He could not brain freeze him during the turn because.
Why did he go get the humming back then instead of just using the drink?
Why didn't he cunning wish for a brain freeze?
Or
why didn't
for the echoing drink to begin with. Why did he go get the humming back?
I'm not 100% sure. On his little piece of paper, he actually wrote down echoing truth and circled it. I saw him do that. And then he was looking at his sideboard for like 2 minutes. And then he played a cunning wish and got a honey pack at Honey Packs.
So he was thinking about it and then he thought he could go. Well, he was thinking about it, but he thought he could go through his whole deck looking for it to get another one.
Yeah, he figured he would draw the last cunning wish. I'm 100% sure he figured
was
he would draw
it. Where was his brain freeze in this process? Did he already burn through it throughout that game?
I think so. I think it was in his graveyard at that point. He was really playing.
He has one in the main deck, and then
I'm pretty sure he was just planning on doing that. He said like all he needed was echoing truth. Basically, his plan was to at this point honey pack, get the truth the Grim Lavamancer. He has triple moments piece in his yard.
Right.
And Ray just had out like a.
So Ray couldn't beat him.
Yeah, Ray wouldn't
have been able to beat him. Tribal Flames, or. Did he have counter spells in his hand too, obviously?
He had to burn them at this point. At that point. He burned them already.
Oh, all the counter spells?
Yeah. He has four in the sideboard.
Yeah, no, but he did play Dreams a couple of times.
He had seven cards still in his hand, because he had 22 cards. I think he may have kept the counter spell in hand, but it didn't matter, because he couldn't bounce the Lavamancer, so he just auto lost.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the stifle on the side for anymore, don't think.
No, well, he didn't have a...
Well, he had another extra. He needed a cunning wish, right.
He needed either cunning wish to stifle the ability, or...
The person he played in the semifinals, he just ran over that person. The guy, Tyrus or whatever.
Oh, is that the Boros guy?
Yeah, the other Boros guy.
Boros guy.
He ran over.
Yeah, he played the Boros guy, the guy who had the... main deck Molten Rains and stuff.
Main deck Molten Rains, and he was running 61 cards. You just were excited, look at the guy's deck list. And I was like, first he's like, look at the deck list, and he looks at the number of cards, and it says 61. He's like, 61 cards? You can see the like a look of like, what the hell? Wow.
Time for wrecking.
But he ran that guy over completely.
Really?
Yep. Just play conservatively, like turn, you know, exactly the way you
figure it out, then with enough mana in play, and then just walk when he has enough.
Just keep himself alive until he gets the 7-8 mana.
Yeah.
Win. Both games.
I should play. I should make this deck and play PTQ.
What? Harvey?
Yeah.
That deck takes skill to play.
One of the hardest decks
to play. I built that deck, and I play tested against her and Ackerman, and I could not win a game with it.
Really?
No, yeah.
I think I could.
Did I play this against you?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah, I
watched him play though, and it was
like amazing, right? Yeah.
I beat Ackerman playing Tooth and Nail once, playing Harpy once, and I played him like 15 games.
I don't know, man. Like,
it's just one of the best when to play
players
what?
I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brian is.
No, he's really good.
Really
his only
good.
Problem really is when he gets under pressure.
Yeah, like what happened at the Grand.
Either get under pressure.
The Grand Prix he was in. It was the Pro Tour, right?
Well,
and
he screwed up. He screwed up on camera at the Pro Tour.
Yeah,
and he gets ridiculed by it all the time.
Yep.
I know.
That was
so
funny
about it. And I don't
ridiculed all the time. Even in,
right.
even in that.
No, he still gets ridiculed to this day about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you watch the telecast for PT Honolulu, they start mentioning right. mistakes in there. They say, "Oh, B tape's mistake,"
and they actually call. It when somebody makes like a really dumb mistake like that, they well, you just pulled a Ryan Zamira. They say that.
Oh, wow.
That's ridiculous, you know.
And they even saw it coming too, like the other top.
Yeah, that other guy.
They're like, I'm playing gifts. I get to play against.
Oh no,
Weenie, and they're like, he splices, and they're like, oh, well, he's gonna lose. He's gonna misplay. And he did. I was reading it because you know, they were like, oh, Ryan played in the top 8. And I was like, oh, cool. I was reading. I was like, oh man, I bet he was beaten up over that.
I think the lessons of
that and
the description.
Ryan's mouth
he never. He never twice too.
Yeah, because you forgot about Harpy.
They changed the rules now where if the judge is there, the judge is watching your match, now the judge is not supposed to let you man burn. If you have an option to be able to use it, he has to send you back to be able to use it. Before, when Ryan was doing it, they changed the rules because of that. Because Ryan was doing it, he's like, all right, well, you man burn. He did that twice. I got it on video. You can download it and watch it.
I have a question for you.
You can always watch it.
This actually happened in the last higher level tournament I played in. If somebody's at one,
and they attempt to cast a spell. Let's say they need double white, and have Hallowed Fountain Island and
Attakar
Wastes.
Okay.
Can they kill themselves with their land, or does that go back too?
No.
They can kill themselves with it.
They have to put the mana.
So mana burn is the option. But taking the points from the land, that's not the option. Like, once you cast a spell,
well, you can do
and
it,
announce
but
it.
No. Well, Attakar Wastes, you require to take the damage as part of getting the mana.
Sure. So what happened at...
So that means they die, right?
They die immediately.
There's no judge take it back.
No.
Not like Mana Burn.
That's right. That's what happened to Witkoff.
That's the originals.
He was playing that...
He killed himself.
No. He was playing against that... You know that black guy that's kind of chubby?
He was here today.
I was there for that. This brought up a question.
Yeah. He was playing that guy, and the guy killed himself with an Attakar Wastes.
And then they called the judge over.
Witkoff was like, okay. You were at one. You're dead. And the guy's like, wait a minute, judge, and the judge came over, and they both explained what happened, and then the judge rewound it. He said he could untap his mana and replay the entire turn.
Yep.
Then all the way. David didn't appeal it to Scott.
Yeah, Scott was...
And he appealed it, like, oh, no, he did what he did, and he announced what he was doing.
Because right after that, I saw this...
He didn't know his own life, though.
Same way.
Yep.
He's like, I'll pump it up, I'll get it flying, I'll take one. Oh.
Nothing beats the guy.
Actually, I'm going to quote him. I'll take one. Oh, snap.
Nothing beats the guy that played the beloved chapter.
It was a stupid mistake I made the other day was, now you make me think of this. I had in hand... Like two burn spells.
Did you have fun watching that really, really, really long match?
No, it was awful.
I know, right?
It was so bad.
Cards in hand?
Cards in hand?
Yeah.
Eventually we got to the point where we had counters. So we just had the numbers laid out for them.
Yeah, Ryan's a bit neurotic by asking that question.
Yeah.
Cards in hand? Cards in hand? Yeah.
Got a little
old. Steve kept asking me, he's like, oh my god, sportsmanlike conduct?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it was a legitimate question. But I think
it's all
pay attention a little bit, you know.
he has a neurotic problem with that.
He did that to me. I was telling
he does
him.
It every turn he plays.
Three times in the same turn. My card count didn't change. He just asked me three times.
Yeah. That, you know.
Of course, Jeff.
Yeah. During Steve, he asked one time when Steve ended turn. He asked, and then he asked during his own upkeep. Right after. draw cards in hand, right after doing it at the end of his turn. Like, Steve's like, the same it was 10 seconds ago. And then Steve started imitating the count from Sesame Street, and he's like, one card, two cards. You were dying laughing.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
You
were
laughing. The running commentary was when we were able to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
Quite a little silly.
Horrible.
Ryan was definitely under pressure in that.
But he pulled it out, man.
Yep. Well, the funny thing was, it turned out Steve had nothing.
You guys know
Ray won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ray
won.
I'm sure I'm going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to go anyway, so that's good that he won.
Hey, I don't know.
Ray.
Got 2 buys, though.
Ray.
So does Ray.
Ray was trying to get the ratings points up to meet that 2 buy level. He was pretty close to the threshold.
Ryan came here with 2 buys.
Wait.
He took 1 loss today. So
no, Ray has more conservative points than Ryan does.
But Ryan said he had 1903 coming.
Yeah, Ray has 1950 something.
Oh, so he was trying to...
Ray has 1950 something.
He was going to third round buy.
Ray already had, like, the 2 round
I thought he was...
I
didn't think it was that high.
No, he's higher than Chad, and Chad's like 1918 or something.
Yep.
Okay. Alright.
And Chad's not going to GP.
You guys all think?
This is my
place. Yeah, most of you guys were in the Springs.
Yeah.
No kidding. I've never been at a venue that had their own coffee shop, and it makes me very happy.
Yeah, you
have to go somewhere else to eat.
Yeah.
That owns. And you have a dining area.
And you close at midnight, like, regardless.
I just got coffee at
11:15.
I think that's stellar.
Free wireless here, too. Free wireless?
Yeah.
Free wireless.
The Wi-Fi
hotspot?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
I'm
going to move
to work
here. I'm going to live in the so-called franchising.
When it opens back in October, it's like...
Yeah, this place is fantastic.
It's awesome. Well, that's what you advertise on the
like,
board.
If you guys
see
people passed out flyers for this place at the test offer, at least I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was like,
"Hey, the USA, I'm recorded about your own place."
Oh, dude, this place is
not good at sleeping myself.
All right,
just I don't know. I hope everybody likes it. Keep spreading the word.
Oh yeah, we will spread the word definitely. Absolutely. For sure. Mm-hmm. Good place to hold the
I want to see if he took the magic name too. He took the magic name from way back when.
Well, you remember Steve Buck, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he owned the website, so it was actually...
Okay.
I just bought the website off.
Oh, okay.
And the name wasn't registered as a business name, so...
Oh, it wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
It was never registered, huh?
Mm-hmm. It was never registered, so I registered it.
Enchanted Grounds?
Worked out well.
Enchanted.
Yeah. Were you here when Enchanted Grounds was open?
The original Enchanted Grounds?
Yeah. Original Enchanted Grounds was silly. It was like... 20,000 square feet. It was insane as far as...
Really?
It was in a hollowed-out Kmart.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
It was two levels. They had more than enough space.
Sounds like music.
Downstairs, in the downstairs area, they had enough seating where you could comfortably sit with, like, you know, several feet between people.
They had
rows.
They had 500.
For 600.
Yeah, they had 500 security leases and did not fill the space.
Oh, wow.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
And then there was an upstairs.
There was an upstairs.
It's like full reason to actually hold a Grand Prix.
It was enormous. Yeah.
You could hold a Grand Prix in that room.
Yeah, you could have easily.
Well, right now you're like getting between like 800 and 1,400 people.
Well,
for
the
sense, you probably get more.
With the upper level, they could have held a Grand Prix.
Yeah. It was the level. They were same size space.
Yeah.
That was downstairs because there was nothing else.
Yeah.
Upstairs there was other stuff like tables.
Did you say 800 to 1,400 people?
Yeah.
For Grand Prix? There wasn't that many people at Grand Prix Oakland when I went to that.
No. The format. It depends on
the
format.
The most obviously they had in the Grand Prix.
The biggest one they
extended is.
I want to say it's like 11 or 1,200.
Yeah. In the U.S. the biggest one they had was 11. They had 950 or 975 in New Jersey.
New Jersey was huge. But I don't want to say it was 11 something. It's early for Legacy.
Yep.
What do you guys play on Mirrodin Block?
I didn't play Mirrodin Block.
I didn't play.
I was like, screw that.
I was just wondering. I saw it. Like,
Infinity, right? I was playing against one guy. He was playing two.
Bringing back the old memories from the name. It also brought up a lot of sketches.
No, he went.
I'm
impressed. Turn two. Hellfire does turn three Shaman. Turn four Oxidized Justice. And I killed them with turn 7.
You need to be able to do that test.
Yes!
Yeah.
I also know all the
I went like, four spells, Sombra, Hover Guard, Sombra,
Hover Guard. It was a ton of mistakes like, made too.
Yeah.
But I killed this one guy.
But, so you know, this is a hell of a nice idea.
He plays Ostan.
Yeah,
I have three Disciples of the Vault in play.
Right.
We haven't
right?
picked the menu board yet.
And I put Tog.
Which is a real menu board.
Play Tog. And with his Ostan, he takes it.
You're on the right path,
getting everything set.
So, you know what he does?
Yeah.
He bets on me not knowing the rules.
Cool.
And he goes,
just if I can get all the neighbors.
I'm going to blow Ostan. I was like, I'm sorry. Everything in response. And he takes
right.
Ostan. And he's like,
so I didn't know if you were going to know that or not.
Yeah, I'd go for it.
Just keep playing.
Well, thank you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
we'll
spread
the word. We'll
okay.
Get
here.
But one more
artifact
to die anyway.
At
this point.
Just
let me know.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Bye. I want to
come and dress
so bad.
I know, right?
The website's enchantedgrounds.com.
All right.
So at this point, let's be signing off with some food.
End of the day. Heading home. Dinner didn't work out quite as well since there was four of us with three different cars. I got separated and lost, and we decided to say screw it, and I just headed on back home, headed back to the Springs. I'm on I-45 now, heading south. Long, boring route, generally straight. Definitely boring, definitely long. Doesn't like having to drive 2 hours to go to GPTs and BQs all the damn time, but, you know, so be it. I stay for me where I live at, and enjoy the environment I live in, and have the kind of job I get paid for, so, yep. It's pretty much 1 o'clock now, good morning, later than usual, I guess. I decided to, me and Jonine, who was with me, we decided that at the time they started the semifinals, the DPT, we ducked across town, made it time for a standard tournament over there, which I proceeded to wreck house with my three-color martyr deck that I posted on the... Actually, I posted on the Top 8 Magic Forums like a couple months ago as one of the possible candidates I was considering for the Rogue Deck Builder contest, but the one I didn't submit. But I actually posted the deck list on the, pretty much the deck list on that forum just because so everybody can see what I was doing. But, yeah, I actually went there. I lost a total of one game. The one game was to a black-white creature deck from some guy who was in their second ever tournament, and it was pretty much almost all gold cards, gold creatures, black, white, gold creatures, and a couple of random black trolls and white spirits. You know, like the Basil Troll and the other troll that taps a creature for white mana, and the black troll, descent guild pack. There's pretty much tons of gold guild pack rares, or gold cards, I guess, in general. Pontiff and whatnot. So it was interesting, but that was the only game I lost in the standard tournament. I wrecked the Wildfire, a red-blue Wildfire Kron deck in the finals. I wrecked Jonin, who was playing the black-blue Pickles Mori, Katahiro Mori deck. Only because the first game I completely wrecked her. The second game I was able to resolve a Wrath of God with her having both the Shapeshifter and the Brine Elemental in play, and Teferi in play. And I was able to resolve a Wrath of God there, so pulled myself out of that one. Got lucky, as it were. She had that mana and didn't have any permission left in her hand at that point. But, yeah, it went pretty well. Played a couple other decks. It was a nice, good way to finish tonight. We got first place in that. There's going to be a post on blackandgold.com, which is, I believe it's blackandgold.com. I'll have to check that. It's a website for the Black and Gold store in Denver. Apparently, he posts all the first place decks that play in the tournaments on the web, so you'll see the this really strange three-color martyr of sand millstone deck that I decided to screw around with. Had to say it. And one of the matches I played was against the Jester Scepter deck, which was a red-white Martyr of the Sands deck using the Serene Meditation and Jester Scepters, and basically it was Martyr of Sands versus Martyr of Sands lock. But since I had Gaea's Blessing, he couldn't beat me, and he got really frustrated with that. And then second game, I dropped an Ivory Mask and shut him out. He didn't like that either, so. So he couldn't do anything to me. That was cool. Instead of taking the normal, typical first place prize, I negotiated with the guy for some sports memorabilia. So I got some more Detroit Lions, miscellaneous stuff, like flag, and not a flag, but a candle. It's really cool. It's a customized candle. And some pendants. So we can put more pendants on the wall. It's cool. It's all good. I guess final comments, though, back to the Grand Prix trial. It was a pretty diverse field. It was a lot of fun. My original intention was to play Kalthos when I got there, but after just playing it a little bit, I got disheartened about how bad it was doing. So I dropped the Kalthos, went back to my Blasted Trinkets deck, which I talked about. Had a couple games where the Dwarven Blastminer came in super handy. Making Steve Galanda, for instance, scoop in game one, pretty much, because I ramped up to enough mana to run two of them, and he couldn't get more than two lands to play the entire match. So he wasn't real happy with that, but we're surprised about the results. Ray Hool did win the Grand Prix trial. The guy who I did the podcast with for Nationals this past year. One of the guys I do the podcasting with at Nationals. Most people have not heard the podcast yet. It's been edited. Unfortunately, the place I was originally going to have it posted on decided to opt out and not post it. So at this point, I'm going to re-edit it, and I get to get a bunch of spare time on it, because it's a few hours worth of listening. And edit out a few things that specify who they were. Yeah, I'll probably submit it along with this stuff as well. And, if Matt Wayne decides that he thinks it's good enough to be posted, let everyone else listen to it, it's cool. And if not, well, then, I can't really say much. My only hope is that at this point is he's cool enough about wanting to post this podcast too. Because, they're unknown what BDM or Matt Wayne or Mike Flores might think of what this is. But I'm sure they'll listen to it. They can still look cool. I had a lot of fun. Kind of wish I had traveling partners again, though. That's one thing I missed from a few years ago, where we always had a car of four whenever I went to these tournaments. Now it's just me driving up to these tournaments by myself. And a couple other people taking another car or two other cars going up here. So I was happy with the turnout. We had eight people in the Springs representing in the Grand Prix trial out of 28 people. So fairly significant percentage, actually, considering it was Denver after all. And you'd think some of these people were actually going to Dallas. So, you know, where were they at? I don't know. But so, gay as Mike got there. Yet again, it got there. Pretty much an exact deck list, except for a few sideboard changes. Then, as the one that was, that made a recent top eight at a PPQ. Pretty close to the same deck. A few changes to the sideboard he made. Main deck's pretty much the same. He looked alright. He, in his semifinal round, Ray took off, knocked out, Patrick, who beat me. Patrick was playing Reanimator. Apparently he got enough damage to squeak out wins. But, yeah. In general, I think it extended as a pretty diverse format. Lots of options, lots of choices you can make, lots of decks to choose from, and it comes down really to playing skill and deck preparation. Those who work at it, those who put in the effort to test, those who put in the time needed to metagame, those who study the format, those who are willing to bow down before the idol of the metagame to shatter it, you know, or busting out the hammer on the glass metagame, ready to bust holes in their glass, can do well. Grand Prix Dallas, about a month away. It's going to be an awesome looking format. It's going to be an awesome looking tournament. Unfortunately, I probably won't go. I didn't get the buys. Ray did, among other things. You know, they also got enough ratings. Now his rating's going to be close to 2,000 now at this rate. Ryan Spears' rating should be back up to close to 1950, 1970, some area. I hope mine gets probably back in the 1800s as of today. Let's say 301, a standard event that was 16K, and then I guess 221, the Grand Prix trial that was 24K. So maybe I'm not that high. I don't know. I have to think about it. Not sure. I want to get my rating back to 18, to, well, 19. I'd like to have 18 again, but get at least back in the mid 17, so it looks like, you know, respectable as opposed to. My rating has been anywhere from as high as 1950s to as low as 1600 over the past 3 years. And it's variated quite a bit. A lot of times because I don't really care about what I play. I tend to play to have fun, but I like to play slow decks that bore people to death, you know, because you like to make people fall asleep while playing against me. I'm not your typical control player. I'm your extreme control player. But, yeah, today was great. Had a lot of fun. Seemed really good. I had to edit this, chop it up a little bit, put it into a CD, ship it out to New York, see how it all works out. Maybe they'll take it. Kind of be cool. At some point, I'm going to talk to Gabby Darhe. Me and him had an idea we talked about in the Top 8 Magic channel on MTGO a couple weeks ago that need to talk to him about. Maybe I'll talk him into pursuing it and see how that goes. But at this point, this is Chris Howell. It's July 28th now. It's after midnight, so the tournament was 27th. But yep, it's time for me to be signing off for the night. This is Chris Howell. This is Chris Howell reporting for Top 8 Magic out from Colorado. If you enjoy these podcasts and is interested in having me submit more, please let Matt Wayne know, which is comments@top8magic.com, or let myself know at otwolfc@gmail.com, and we'll see about getting some more together. If this goes well, then I might be doing a podcast like this for every Grand Prix trial and or PTQ and or GP that I attend. Thank you, good night.